Hey everyone, I'm Devin.
And I'm Asia, and welcome back to
On Their Behalf.
So I think our theme for this season, other than, you know, the norm, actually, not the theme for the actual season, but the theme between us
for the behind the scenes
feels, but it has been, oh life. Because, you know, life's hard.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys listening can pick up on like our energy level right now, but it's pretty low. Yeah. Not gonna lie.
It's low, and it's like, it's like the energy level is low, and like we usually sync up a lot.
We sync up
in like a lot of different things, but we usually don't get like, I don't know, bothered by things. Like, it feels like my bubble is really thin, and like I'm usually able to be like, whatever, like things roll off my shoulders. But this last like couple of weeks, actually the whole month, I feel like everything just keeps popping my bubble.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
and I'm not as low key as you are. Like, I usually respond immediately with anger, but like I've done enough like work on myself that I can be like, okay, that's a me response. I don't need to bring it to anybody else. Like, I just need to, like, it's about me. It's not about the situation.
Yeah.
And today, right now.
Yeah.
The last week, I've been, my energy has been so low. Like, I've just been depleted. I feel very overwhelmed. Was that a panic attack in Walmart?
Oh, yeah. Like, you're telling me about that. I feel like also,
everything feels so wild right now.
And thank God for therapy. And therapists. I love my therapist. I doubt she listens, but I love you. But also, like, the world is very depressing, and I was thinking about this the other day, and actually I talked about it in therapy, about like, you know, just like having, like, I almost feel like every day I need something to, one, look forward to, and two, I need some sort of like relief from everything. And I usually have wine. But then I was just like, you know, I really feel like I need to cool it with that. Like, I don't want to be groggy anymore. Like, I need something that's like helping me have some sort of relief, but also not something that's like hindering me from like focusing and like doing my job and like functioning in the world. And I was talking to her about it, and I was just like, I never needed this. I never needed this as a kid, I didn't feel like, and I feel like I never needed it in like other points in my life where like stress was a thing, like school. I feel like I just dealt with it, you know? And she made a very good point that this is not the state of the world right now is not the same as when you were in college or when you were a kid. Like, of course you are looking for those little things to relieve.
Yeah.
Because it's not, what we're going through is not normal. And even though the world is like, you know, somewhat going back to normal in the sense of like people are going back to work or, you know, stores are open, restaurants are open. Like, we went through a very terrible year. And I don't know if I said this on the podcast, but I think I might have said it to you or somebody else, but I said, I saw this thing pop up on Facebook that said, we are still processing 2020 and 2022 is in a couple of months.
I literally like can't,
I can't deal with that
can't
at
do
all.
It.
And I was like, so when I was talking to my therapist about it, she was saying, like, I understand where you're talking about, like, oh, I need to get, like, a handle on things, or I need to start dealing with life the way I used to. She said, but life is not the way it used to be. So
right.
It's okay that you feel that way. Like, you are not the only one that feels like, oh my God, I can't make it through tomorrow unless I have something to like look forward to, or something that I'm, it's got to be one of those things where it's like, I'm looking forward to watching a show, or I'm looking forward to having dinner with a friend, or I'm looking forward to having people over, or something like that. Or it's like, I'm looking forward to the workday ending and I'm able to sit on my couch with my dog and drink a glass of wine. Like, even if it's those small things, like, it's okay. And don't feel like guilty about those things, because, or feeling like you need to be stimulated in that way in order to get to the next day is not wrong. And it's nothing that you need to change unless you feel like it's something that's consuming you, and I don't feel like it is, but again, I was reacting as if like I was still, you know, it was still pre-2020, and of course the world wasn't the greatest then either, but at least it's like almost like walking outside, it's like not real, like it's fake, you know. Like everybody's just pretending, but then you walk through a store and everybody's wearing masks and people are like, you know, still kind of distancing from you, but then we're still like operating as if like everything's back to the way it was, but we're still all processing everything as if we're still in the middle of it, especially alone. Like when you're alone in your apartment or you're alone with your spouse or whoever, like that feels very safe and normal. But then when you are outside of that or that like environment, it's just hard. Life is hard. Yeah. So when you were talking about what happened to you at Walmart, I was like, I feel like that every time I leave the house, you know?
Yeah.
And one of my new things that I'm trying to do, which is very, very difficult. Another thing I got from therapy was protecting my peace. And I've been saying that about everything in my life. Like if you, and actually my therapist like changed it, and she was like, if it doesn't add to your foundation of peace, then give it back. So if somebody is treating me wrong, or somebody says something to me wrong, or bothers me or whatever, like if it doesn't add to my foundation of peace, then I give it back to that person. That belongs to them because it doesn't add to my peace. And you know, using, like, thinking of yourself as a priority and setting those boundaries with people is really hard for you, but think about how hard it is for the other people. So they're always going to, like, try to, you know, like, basically change your mind on whatever boundary you've set. And my boundary for everybody in my life has been, like, if you're not adding to my foundation of peace, I still love you, I still appreciate you, I still, you know, but I can remove myself from that situation, or, you know, I can remove myself, or I can give you back whatever is not adding to my foundation of peace. And that is, it's incredibly hard, because I don't actually feel like I always do that. Like, I still kind of take on a lot. But anyway, that's where I feel. And that contributes to like the whole like lack of energy, because you're like constantly fielding these things, and then you go out into the world and it's all a bunch of other stuff that's very hard to deal with. So
well,
I went on like a rant.
No, I think you had valuable stuff to say. Well, I always think you have valuable stuff to say, but I like that. I feel like that I got something from that, so I appreciate you sharing.
Thank you. I hope so. I'm trying. I'm trying. I think we all are. And, you know, you do whatever it is that's best for you today. And tomorrow you choose whatever is best for you tomorrow. That might look different than today, or it might be the same. And if that's the case, like, we're all just trying to get through it. And whatever your it is, whatever you're trying to get through, you'll get through it, and we'll, but you know, if that looks different day to day, then that's fine, you know. Well, let's talk about other terrible things.
Let's talk about something terrible. But hopefully this is one that can actually, like, help by sharing this. Because sometimes, you know, when things are, like, done and dusted, it's like, you know, it's obviously, I think, very important to still bear witness and to learn about these things. But this is one that you might not like as much, Asia, because there's not, like, a, like, real ending. Like, it's a mystery, really.
Okay.
I do hope in sharing this that there is something that can be done, and spreading the word will help to someday get that final ending and answers. This week, I am telling Asia the story on behalf of Kiera Coles. Kiera Coles was born on September 24th, 1992, to Joseph Coles and Karen Phillips. There were five kids in her family, and she was the second youngest, so the fourth born. And they had a happy and well-adjusted home with lots of love. And even after her parents split up, Kiera and her siblings remained close with both of their parents. And Kiera was especially close to her mom, Karen. And Kiera and her family live in Chicago, where Kiera worked as a mail woman, so for USPS as a mail carrier. And then to make some extra money, she drove for Lyft in the in her free time, or Uber, or car, whatever, one of those things.
I'm sorry, how old is she?
She was born in 1992, okay.
So she's 29.
I'll get through it all.
Yeah.
Kiera started working for USPS in 2017, and she was about a year into her job there. And she had made friends with her coworkers and was putting down career roots. And she had recently gotten her first apartment on a block in Chicago where some of her coworkers live. So I imagine she must have gotten, like, an apartment lead or recommendation from somebody at work. So she was, like, very involved and seemed to really like it there. So in 2018, Kiera was 27, and she was living in her apartment on 81st and Vernon in Chicago. And she was working hard, and she bought herself a new car. And she was also 3 months pregnant with her first child, due April 23rd, 2019.
Okay.
And the father of Kiera's baby was her boyfriend, Josh Simmons, who also worked at the post office. But Josh didn't live with Kiera because he had another girlfriend with whom he also had children.
Okay. Did she know?
Okay. Yes. It's a little, like, hard to get, like, all the nuance. Like, I don't know if they were... I don't think that they were polyamorous. Okay. Or anything, but I don't know who was, like, the main girlfriend.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's living with the other one.
Okay.
But, yeah, and apparently, like, Kiera and the other girlfriend, who I couldn't find her name, they knew of each other and, like, didn't like each other. And allegedly, Kiera even went over to their apartment and got in a fight with the other girlfriend, and then was, like, banned from ever coming around again. But the other thing is, Kiera and Josh had been together for 6 years at that point. So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe the other girl was even longer, but, like, that 6 years is a long time to put up with something. But then he's living with... Like, if he was with Kiera for 6 years and then he moved into somebody else, in with somebody else, unless, like, that's where the kids come in, and, like, maybe 3 years ago he had a kid with this woman, so he was living there with her. I don't know what's going on, but he's living and in a relationship with woman A, and Kiera is 3 months pregnant, so there's still, like, something going on.
it's so messy.
It's not, yeah, it's messy. But Kiara was feeling hopeful that, like, the drama was behind her because now there's a baby involved. On her end, like, you know, another baby, I guess. But she was focusing mainly on, like, moving up the ranks at work and being a good mom and a provider. And in late September, so this was around her birthday, Kiara and Karen, who's her mom, saw each other often. And because, you know, Kiara was having a baby, they would, like, check and chat in and everything. And around, I think, September 28th, Kiara had called Karen because she was excited because she got to hear the baby's heartbeat. Aww. And Kiara was, like, asking what kind of milk was best to use and everything. So they were, like, in contact a lot. And Kiara's mom... So I'm starting to go through a timeline, which there's probably going to be things that, like, spark things for you, but I promise I will talk about this.
That's your subtle way of telling me to shut the fuck up. And I will. I will be quiet, I promise.
Well, because it's also, like, there's stuff that just doesn't make sense, but I will, I'll unpack it after I, like, weigh it out. So, Kiara's mom, named Karen, says that Kiara took October 1st and 2nd, 2018, off from work. And then on October 3rd, called in sick to work. Okay. And at about 11:45 a.m. on October 3rd, Kiara leaves her apartment. She puts all her stuff in her car, her purse, a packed lunch, and her cell phone. And then she disappears. And she didn't go into work. Her mom hadn't heard from her. Her sisters checked all her social media, and there was just nothing. So the next day, on October 4th, some of Kiara's siblings go to her apartment to check on her, but she's not home. So they call Josh Simmons, the boyfriend, and he also hadn't heard from her. After that, after Josh is like, I don't know where she is either, then Karen's like, oh, shit, something's going on. Because they all know Josh because he's been around for 6 years, and they all they like him. I don't know if they're aware exactly of the situation, but they all like Josh. So after that, Karen calls the Chicago police and asks them to do a welfare check. They do, and they go, and they just confirm that she's not home. So they're like, that doesn't mean anything either way. Yeah. But then the police find Kiara's car still parked on the street in front of the apartment with her purse, the day-old packed lunch, and her cell phone in it, but no keys and no wallet.
Okay.
So, upon hearing this, Karen files a missing persons report, because who is going to go leave their phone?
Of all things, you would take the car. Your phone. You don't know how many times I've left my apartment with my phone and not my keys. And I'm like, I can't go anywhere without my keys, but I still bring my phone. Like, I think of my phone first.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's no way she would do that. She would just leave that in the car.
Worst case scenario, I, like, am getting home from somewhere and I park and I forget that my phone is, like, mounted.
Yeah, I've done that.
But then I literally get out, lock the car, walk, and then check my purse and I realize it's not there and then go back and get my phone. Like, so you just don't leave your phone. And especially, like, if it's, like, broad daylight and you're parked in the street. I mean, maybe other people do, but, like, I don't leave valuables out.
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah, visible. And you just don't, like, your phone is your lifeline most of the time. Nobody has, like, landlines. Like, you don't have one. I don't have one. My mom has one still, but that's only because she has a business and, like, she's, like, required to have one. But nobody calls it, like... When the phone rings in my parents' house, we all kind of look at each other like, who could that be? You know, because we all have cell phones and nobody uses a landline anymore. So, like,
she
likely would have brought that with her if she was thinking of coming back or something. So,
Big red flag, right? So, now this is also one of those cases that we sometimes come across where, like, there's just inconsistencies in the reporting. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, little things, but it could make a difference, you know, like Kiara's age is said to be, and her, like, birth date is said to be, like, a couple different dates, a different, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's also been reported that she went missing on October 2nd, but Karen believes she actually went missing on October 3rd, which that makes a bit big difference, because then you're just following a totally different trail. Yeah. But from what I gather, I think where the inconsistencies in terms of the October 2nd versus 3rd date comes from is that Kiara was last heard from on October 2nd, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean that's when she, like, disappeared, you know?
This kind of reminds me...
her family left her.
What was the case that I did? I think it was last season. Same thing where, like, it was, like, there was just inconsistencies in the story that were so small, but, like, the one inconsistency, like, if it was accurate, the police would have went... The one where the girl goes... Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm sidetracking. But it reminds me of that, where the police would have gone a different route in the investigation if something... was presented to them accurately. So,
Yeah. Exactly. So, now after the missing persons report is filed, at least it's taken seriously, which is not something that we always see. So, and I think it helped that it was taken seriously because the Chicago PD were the ones that found the car and the stuff in it as well. So they also are like, these are red flags. So they're looking for Kiara. And then Karen informs Kiara's job that she's missing. So the USPS launched their own investigation because they're a government entity. Yeah. So they have their own branch of investigations. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Also, I forgot, like the mail, like the USPS, like it's actually a federal thing. So like that's why it's like really bad if you like fuck with people's mail. Like and I was like, just could not fathom that like you could be legit arrested for messing with like the USPS. And somebody told me that the only vehicle that is allowed to not move for like emergency vehicles is a mail truck or whatever they call it, like mail,
what is that mail called, bus,
mail cart, mail something, mail? Whatever it's, yeah, but yeah. they are the only like vehicle on the road that does not actually need to stop or pull over for like emergency vehicles. And I was like, that's crazy that the mail is more important than like an ambulance, like, you know, it's so insane. So it doesn't surprise me that they have their own like internal investigation, you know, team or whatever.
Yeah, and when I saw that they were doing that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. And I was like, I was like so touched by it. And then I was like, what? Which is, it is lovely, but also like, what a low bar. For like an employer to care about someone. Yeah.
But you know what? We're all traumatized from past jobs where you're, they don't give a shit about you. So the fact that like this something we all use all the time is, you know, the USPS, and they are going to bat to try to find somebody is touching, because you're not used to that. To them, they're probably like, well, exactly, like, of course we would do that, but you know, not everybody's as kind.
So so They're launching their investigation, and then Kiara's sister, who's all, again, her, I couldn't find her name, she tells police that she picked Kiara up from work on Monday, October 1st. But according to everybody else, Kiara didn't go to work on Monday, October 1st. So I'm like, that leads to me like a couple different things, right? It's like, A, was Kiara pretending to be at work for her sister's sake for some reason? Yeah. Was her sister mistaken? It probably was simply that she was mistaken. Yeah. Or did Kiara end up going to work on October 1st and then tried to switch her day off to October 2nd? Mm. But if Kiara, I mean, to October 3rd, rather. But if Kiara called in sick on October 3rd, why then leave her apartment at all, let alone go to work with a packed lunch? The packed lunch was what made it seem like she was going to work.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of just like,
and it's also hard. Like we talked, I think we talked about this like a long time ago, like first season or whatever, when it was like, somebody asks you, what were you doing last Tuesday, or what were you doing on October 1st? You'd be like, yeah, I don't
I have no idea.
I mean, maybe now it's a little bit easier because we're mostly not doing anything, but like 4 years ago, yeah, there's no way I would know like which specific day I did anything, they'd bring me in because they would be like, how could you not remember what you did yesterday? And I'm like, I don't know. Cause yeah, it's just normal.
Whenever anybody is like, what'd you do this weekend? I'm like, I have literally no memory.
Yeah. I have to literally think about it. I have to think about it when someone asks me something, you know, like that, especially if it's not immediately the next day, like 2 weeks ago, a week ago, I would have never, I don't know. I have no idea.
Right. Yeah. So more likely than not,
she's just mistaken.
Kira's sister is just confused. And like her sister's missing.
Yeah. Like
you're in an emotional state.
Your brain
state,
will definitely get rid of information it feels like it doesn't need.
Exactly.
And to make space for the worry. So of course she could be mistaken for sure.
Right. And but because the reason I bring it up is because the discrepancies between like the October 2nd and October 3rd is such a thing.
Yeah.
That now that it's like this, the timeline that I laid out is now kind of like starting to look blurry. Yeah. But at this point, and this, I guess, is, you know, now we're talking October 7th, maybe like not that far away from the date that she was missing. News starts to get out and like locally people are saying that she's missing, people at work are talking, and like both the police and the USPS are doing their due diligence and interviewing everyone in Kira's life except for one or two people. So Kira's boyfriend, very conveniently, Josh Simmons, just a few days after Kira goes missing, he and his girlfriend take their children and move out of state. And wasn't planning on it necessarily that we know of. Maybe he was, but seems odd. Seems, as Cardi B says, that's suspicious.
That's suspicious.
That's weird.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
But then the other thing is that they just still don't interview him. It's like, even though he just moved, doesn't mean you can't interview him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can call him.
Yeah.
So either
I've seen Law and Order. They definitely will travel across state lines to go interview
someone. Or they'll call. Yeah. Or they'll call people for wherever they go. Because people do know where he went.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know where he went because I didn't find it. But, like, other people in the story know where he went. Or in this case, know where he went. Or you call people locally or you call him. Like, they definitely have his contact information. So that makes it seem like he's dodging
questions. And they're allowing him to. Like, it feels like or that they don't consider him as a suspect, but I think he should be the first suspect that they think of. And if the crime happened in that specific place, he's required to come back.
I mean, like, well, there's no crime right now. She's
just
missing.
True. You're right.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's why they're like, you know, if there's not actually a crime, maybe he doesn't actually have to say anything.
True.
You know? So then, and I don't know exactly when this is in the timeline, but the next thing that happens after is that the police find surveillance footage from October 3rd. And the video shows the block of Kiara's apartment. And on the video, a young black woman in a USPS uniform is seen walking to a parked car, but a car that is not Kiara's. So the police send it to news outlets and spread it wide, and like this is the first clue that they've gotten, and it places Kiara at her apartment on October 3rd. But something is not sitting right with Karen, and she's watching this footage, the last footage of her daughter, but she realizes it's not Kiara. And the footage is kind of far, and you don't really see a face, so it's like,
but a mother knows.
It is a little bit like, but you know, she was saying, like, Karen saying, like, Kira is 5'4", and this woman is taller than that. And Karen, who's like, obviously, yeah, like you're saying, and mother knows, it's not Kiera's walk.
Yeah.
Like, they walk differently. Mm-hmm. So Karen brings this up to investigators, and do you want to know what their response was?
Oh, my God. Am I going to be happy, or am I...
No, of course you're not.
I was hoping for a little bit of light. Sorry. No. Okay, go ahead.
No.
Sorry. All right. What is it?
They forbid Karen from talking about this with anybody. And what? They just kept the footage playing and claiming it was Kiera. So, okay. Then I was like, okay, let me walk this down the road,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
Because in my opinion, on this particular case, I feel like the police have been doing a pretty okay yeah. job. Like, to this mm-hmm. point, anyways. So, like, they're not falling into any of the pit holes that you and I have seen in so many other cases, mm-hmm. right? And I think the most innocent answer for this response is that maybe the footage could still be useful to the public in terms of jogging somebody's memory for a tip mm-hmm. or just, like, you know, getting it out yeah. there. Or there's some message that they're sending subliminally mm-hmm. with it. And that's me being kind of, like, generous, because I don't know if if spreading misinformation is ever really helpful. Yeah. But I think the more, like, the not-so-nice version is, like, they're under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And they don't want to look stupid.
That was my first thought. So they just, like, was,
retract yeah. it.
Like, yeah. they...
Or the...
Sorry. No, I'm interrupting you. But I my first thought was that, like, of course they don't want to take it down and admit that they are wrong. You know? Right. And then...
But then it would just seem like they would just, like, kind of let it fizzle yeah. out.
Like, why keep playing it?
But they kept pushing yeah. it.
Because then you don't want to, you know, misinform the public. But then you also don't trust them if you stop. If right. they pull it down and they say, oh, sorry, that was a mistake. This isn't the same girl. Yeah. It's like, then why would anybody trust whatever they put out next?
So, right. And if they retract and be like, oh, this isn't the right girl, then the response is like, oh, do all black women look ooh, the same yeah. to you kind of thing?
Yep, that too. Opens that door too.
I think what they should have done is just shown Karen and got a positive ID yeah. first.
Have you know? Seen this girl?
How I don't know why they didn't do that.
The, you know, law enforcement do that right. all the time.
Like, is this your daughter? Yeah. I just think because it was on the block and she's wearing a mail carrier's uniform, they're like, that's her. And it was that morning. Mm-hmm. Worst case scenario, and this is total speculation and just being a conspiracy theorist, but I'm like, the police are in on yeah. it. Which I don't actually think. I don't have anything to support that, no. but that's where my mm-hmm. brain goes. But, okay, so the other thing is that since Kiera lived on a block with so many colleagues and so many other postal workers, they are seeing this footage, and they're like, that's not... Kiera. And what's even more, that's not a real postal service uniform.
Oh my God.
So they're like, it's like a somebody wearing a costume.
What?
And it is possible that it's like just another employee on her way to work that like got like had to do laundry, so she had to throw together, because it looks pretty legit, like when you yeah. look at it. But unless you, like, are working there, maybe it's, like, the one from 2 years ago and they rolled out new uniforms mm-hmm. or something. It's not, like, a sexy male
yeah, man yeah.
costume. But it's, like, it's not
right. Right. Yeah, it's not accurate.
You
know, like, too.
You wouldn't wear yeah. it today. So, yeah. And so nobody on the block recognizes this woman that is on their block dressed like uh-huh. this. And nobody comes forward because they all know each other. And if somebody was like, oh, wait, that's me on my way to work, they would say yeah. something. So now there's just like this mysterious tape of somebody that happens to be on that block in a fake
oh my God.
USPS uniform. So then that is like alarm bells yeah. going off, you know?
What's her last name again? Kiera...
Kiera Coles. C-O-L-E-S. Kiera is spelled K-I-E-R-R-A.
Okay, I found it.
Yeah. So, like, you can't really see much of anything, right? You just see, like, a person in the uniform.
Yeah.
I don't, honestly, from this, I don't even know how you can tell whether it's the right uniform or not.
But I guess...
because it's so blurry. But if you wear the uniform, then you know.
Yeah, if you were somebody who wore that uniform all the time or worked for the company for a long time, that makes sense.
And we'll share all these images on our Instagram, which you can find at onthearbehalf_pod, of course.
Wow. But you can't see the face. Also, you can't, like, but if I were her mother, like, I'm thinking of, like, if I saw this video, grainy as it is, and it were you, I would know whether it was you or not because of the way you walk. And just your, like, your build, like, I would know it was you. And especially if I, it was my child or, like, my sister or my mother, I could definitely be like, hey, that's not her. Without seeing face, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing that, like, brings it into question, right, is, like, Kiera called into work sick on October 3rd, and yet here's somebody who seems like they want to look like Kiera in a Postal Service uniform looking like they're heading to work.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know
Do we know for sure? I'm probably asking a question you told me to shut up, but... are we sure it was her that called out?
I will
tell you later. Cut that out too. Me disobeying your orders. No, keep it in, keep it in.
So, because the cops are saying don't say anything to Karen, and kind of everybody now that's being like, that's not her, Karen goes back to USPS. She can't get into Kiera's phone because, like, she doesn't know the passcode, which I also don't know why the police then don't, like, override that and access it or request cell phone data. I'm not sure, like, why that wasn't a thing. Or if it was, maybe they don't share it with Karen.
Yeah.
You know? But Karen has Kiera's phone.
Okay. So, also, I'm just kind of like unsure. Make sure that there is somebody in your life that knows your passwords and codes to stuff. I will give that credit to Crime Junkie. If you have any Crime Junkie fans, they have, I think they even have a blog about it's a if I go missing file. So you just basically type everything out that, like, if you went missing, this is the information that your family will need. And it's like all these all your passwords, all your credit card information, and you just put it in a file and, like, put it somewhere. And there's a family member that knows about it, because it does take a really long time for police to, I mean, I know we have these, like, ideas that, like, from Law and Order and, like, all these other shows that we watch, that, like, getting cell phone data and all of that stuff is, like, pretty quick, but it's not. It takes a really long time to subpoena a cell phone company like Verizon or whatever to give you access to, like, a loved one's phone. So if you have this If I Go Missing file, which, again, I will credit Crime Junkie, I did not come up with that, that is their thing, but that way that, like, it doesn't, they don't need to get a subpoena. You have all that information, and one person in your family or your life, husband, mom, or whatever, knows that information.
That's a great tip. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go do that.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. So basically Karen can't see anything that, like, Kiera's been doing on Kiera's end, but she gets a hold of USPS to ask about the call into work. And she does talk to the person that Kiera talked to call off for work, which, again, I couldn't find their name, but I'm imagining it's some, like, a manager or somebody sort of, like, local, smaller. It's not like she's calling, like, the 1-800 mailbox, you know, or whatever. She's talked to somebody, like, that's in charge of staffing and everything. So on a smaller scale. But That person is adamant that they did talk to Kiara herself.
Okay.
Which then makes me feel like they knew her, because if they didn't know her, they would say, I don't know her. Not, yes, I absolutely talked to her.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. And then Karen tried to find out why Kiara asked off for work, but they legally, like, couldn't share that information. And that also made me wonder, like, at what point... I know we're dealing with a missing person, so you still have to respect privacy and everything, but at what point does stuff like that become vital information for an investigation?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
And maybe, yeah, maybe because there is no actual crime, they can't do it yet, I guess. I'm not sure.
Weird.
Yeah. So, while Karen is definitely, like, doing all this legwork and, like, really, really doing a lot of it, Kiara's dad, Joseph, is also helping out. And he actually quit his job in Wisconsin and moved back to Chicago to help look for Kiara. And he spent, like, all of his time handing out flyers, canvassing the neighborhood, searching for any leads. And one report says that he, at one point, he was actually living in his car, which he parked outside of Kiara's apartment.
Oh my God.
To just, like, be there. Like, yeah. And I'm like, it sounds like he's just, like, super committed, like, staking out if there's any new information, and just, like, I don't know. Just, wow. He seems like, oh, it's so heartbreaking and sweet and just, like, such a dedicated guy. It's just so horrible. Joseph was also running all the social media pages dedicated to searching for Kiara, and he actually, like, took it upon himself to, like, search around Chicago and all the abandoned buildings and lots and, like, any places, because he was saying, like, his theory was that she's being kept somewhere against her will. So that's why he was kind of looking at, like, somewhere that you might, like, an abandoned building where you might, like, have somebody. But it also, it kind of sounds to me, and again, this is just me being conjectury, that he's kind of looking at places where you might dump a body as well, but doesn't want to say that out loud. I know. I mean, because why would you want to say that out loud? Yeah. So, and, like, he did have a lot of help. He got a lot of people from the community and, like, family, friends, coworkers, still, like, pushing to find her and keep her name out there, and like, working with USPS investigation to help find her, and in March 2019, so that's about 6 months after she disappeared, Joseph attended a press conference with the families of some other missing women in the area and begged for anybody with information to come forward to bring Kiara home. He also revealed that investigators were officially out of leads and that there wasn't much they could do going forward. So, like, 6 months out is, like, I see why, like, leads might dry up, but it still seems pretty
soon. Yeah, definitely.
Which they're still, at this point, they're still working on it and everything, but it's kind of like, unless somebody comes forward, like, you know, it really seemed like she just vanished into thin air.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. So, but because of that news, the USPS Inspection Service decided to offer a $25,000 reward for any information. And then, upon hearing that, the National Association of Letter Carriers provided an extra $2,500. Wow. Yeah. And then, but as, like, time went on and nobody came forward, the reward money was raised to $50,000. When a Chicago-based activist group and another private company also added to the pot. So I'm, like, I'm continuing to be, like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Like, so many people are, like, stepping up to try to help. Yeah. And it's really sweet, you know.
Oh, my God. I just remembered that you said that there's no resolution to this case yet. And I've just got angry.
Sorry. Yeah.
Ugh. Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck.
You're not going to like this next part either, so...
Prepare myself.
Okay. Yes. In July 2020, the police announced that Kiara's case was officially suspended.
What? Why?
there was nothing. They couldn't find anything to do, and they had like there's no more leads. They can't put people on the case. They did say that like they would reopen the case like the second any new evidence comes out, and it is classified as high risk, and they believe that foul play was involved. So that to me, I'm like, well, why would you close the case? Yeah. And why not just fucking interview Josh Simmons?
And they don't maybe ever there's a interview lead. Him ever?
Not that I could find, which or they're like holding on to something. But if they're holding on to information, then they wouldn't have suspended the case, you know? So, and obviously, like, our reaction was just like a fraction of the reaction that Kiana's family had. Yeah, because also Karen and Joseph had the whole time been working really closely with investigators mm-hmm. who, like, obviously, like, weren't revealing, like, step-by-step stuff about the investigation, mm-hmm. but, like, were always saying to them, like, we have a very strong theory, we're just waiting for evidence to back it up. But, like, okay, like, so you have a theory, like, if you have a theory, it seems like you could look into more things. It just seems like so odd and so weird. And they also said, the police also told Karen and Joseph that they had 2 to 3 people of interest, but they never revealed who they were or how they were being investigated. So
that is so frustrating.
I'm just and I know like in terms of these investigations, you don't like police want to tend to be secretive because they don't want to show their hand or like scare somebody into cleaning up after themselves or anything, or like, you know, you don't know like if sharing something with Karen, but like you don't actually know whether or not Karen is innocent or not. Like if you're in the police mindset mm-hmm. where everybody is a suspect.
Yeah.
You don't want to say something to the wrong mm-hmm. person or say something to the right person who then repeats it to the wrong person. You know? So I understand keeping things kind of close to the vest, but this seems just, like, beyond that, you know? And I feel like sharing a little bit more information might actually have prompted mm-hmm. more stuff
from the public. Well, yeah, maybe more, like, tips could have come through if there was more information to go on.
Instead of, like, the only thing you shared is footage that was not of the actual person anyways. So then, in thinking of this, like, theory, too, I'm like, maybe they actually show or, like, kept playing that footage of Kiara to either, like, lull if somebody was involved into, like, a mm-hmm. false sense of security. Like, oh, they're looking in another direction, and then they slip up or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's the only one that I'm like, mm-hmm. maybe.
I'm just so frustrated with the fact that this, like, boyfriend or whatever you want to call him, who has a baby or children with another woman that he's living with, and this other girl, Kiara, is pregnant with his baby, they disappear and she disappears and there's no connection there.
Right. It seems like that's like the glaring, like, hello, here's the key to everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, if they did interview them, why not share it? You know?
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make sense. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm actually not. The information that I'm seeing is that they definitively did not interview them. Not, like, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. So,
yeah.
I keep saying, like, maybe they did and they're keeping it secret. But, like, I don't see why they would. Right, exactly. And we have nothing to say that that's the case. So.
Yeah. And that's some information that I'm sure her mother wouldn't be okay with then.
Right.
Keeping to themselves. Like, they'd have to say something about that if that was or if he was a suspect. So it just seems like he's just not a suspect,
right,
for whatever reason, and no one's talking. It's like the pink elephant in the room. It's just like, mm-hmm. why is nobody talking about this?
Right. Yeah. Ugh. So because Joseph and Karen did such a good job of, like, getting all of this information about Kiara out, there was a lot of interest online, at least locally, for this. Like, I had never heard of about this, but there are, like, Reddit threads and stuff about people talking about theories and stuff. Well, I didn't go too deep into that, because I was like,
this is gosh,
nothing
I
credible can come from this. But
no, and it's just a dark, deep hole.
I know, I can't. It's I have to cut myself off from that. But I do want to kind of go through a couple different theories that I saw kind of floating around. So the first one is that, like, Kiara just kind of got overwhelmed with everything going on in her life, and she just ran away to start over. Which, like, to me, I'm like, that doesn't really sound realistic. If she left her phone, like, I don't know, like, maybe if she just got overwhelmed because she was, like, pregnant and everything, then, like, you, maybe you take a week and, like, go dark, but then you call somebody and you go, you turn to your support system, you know?
Like, and her mother, I don't know if I believe that. Her mom, like, if I were going to do that, there's no, well, I wouldn't be able to. My family would hunt me down. But, but still, like, that would, like, you would want, like, who is she escaping from?
Exactly. There's no evidence that, like, anything was going on to the point where she would need to totally disappear. You know?
Yeah. So, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't think that that would be her, what she would do, especially without, like, somebody in her life knowing about it. And her mother is the obvious choice there. Yeah. Like, mom, I need to get out of here for whatever. I'm afraid, or I need to really just, like, redesign my life. And I don't see her mother not knowing something like that. And if she did know that, then why would she be fighting so hard to find her if she knew where she was or had something to run away from?
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
So then that is a perfect segue to the next theory, which is that, not that, like, Karen did anything, but Karen had a boyfriend that people were speculating was somehow negatively impacting Kiara and giving, A, either giving her a reason to run away, B, was involved in her disappearance, but, or, like, sort of a combo, the reason why she, why the cops weren't really telling Karen all that much.
Yeah.
Because if Karen leaked something to the boyfriend, that is, which it sounds like juicy, but there's nothing that, like, corroborates that or supports it at all. So it just sounds like my theory with, like, the staircase, right? Like, where it just is, like, fun and different. And I say fun and different sarcastically, because there's nothing fun about this.
No.
But I'm not really buying this, because also I feel like if it was the mom's boyfriend, they would have found something, right?
Yeah.
Like, like, so, and I mean, unless he's just, like, an amazing liar or something.
Which, hey, we've met those people
before. Yeah.
But, it just feels like, you know,
it just doesn't. A lot of
these are, like, you know, there's no evidence to support that. There's more evidence to support that the boyfriend killed her,
right,
and hit her body very well, and then left with his current girlfriend or family or whatever. So these are, like, grasping at straws situations.
Yeah, and this is where it becomes, like, the, like, let's look at the cast of characters and see who's the most unexpected person. Oh, that guy. Yeah. You know, it's that kind of thinking, in my opinion. So, another theory that I also am kind of like, meh, like, whatever, is that, like, this is the South Side of Chicago, so that it could have been, like, gang or drug related, like, somebody, like, kind of snatching her or whatever. But, again, there's no evidence that she was involved in anything like that. I also think that if there was something, if it was gang related, usually, like, people know about that, and, like, maybe somebody comes forward, especially if she wasn't involved in gangs, and then she's, like, an innocent. Like, somebody's sister or ma or something knows somebody knows something, and mm-hmm. I think it's much harder to keep gang related activities like under wraps this well than mm-hmm. even though there's the, you know, you don't want to be a snitch or anything, but I just yeah. I don't really think that one doesn't ring true to no. me either.
Yeah.
Cause it's also so clean, mm-hmm. you know, that I just don't think there's that much.
Yeah.
Like foresight with that. Yeah. Anyways. And then mm-hmm. of course the other theory, that, you know, obviously I think holds the most water is, and this is what Joseph, Kira's dad mm-hmm. thinks, is that Kira's boyfriend and baby daddy and his other girlfriend are responsible. And like mm-hmm. Josh's behavior, like disappearing into another state, is one thing, but he also like totally cut off contact with her family mm-hmm. and he never attended any vigils or searches and never yeah. even like promoted anything on his social media. And like that's his girlfriend and his child
yeah.
that are missing. Really.
Yeah.
So
no, he did it. He did yeah. it.
Yeah. And it's him. And then the other part of that is that the theory is that the footage that people are throwing out is Josh's other girlfriend dressed like Kiara to try to do that, and that she called in sick for Kiara. Which
yeah.
that is interesting to me because that would mean that Kiara could have potentially been missing for 3 to 4 days before
yeah.
this
and
happened.
All of the car with her phone and the purse mm-hmm. and all that stuff could have been planted.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they could have staged the whole thing.
Right. So.
Jesus, wow.
Yeah.
It's like, how does that happen? Because there's some people, we hear cases all the time where people, like, plan to kill somebody and they stage this whole situation and they're caught within, like, a day.
I know.
Because it's like, wow. But, like, these two people are that, like, masterminds of kidnapping and figuring this out?
And that makes me be like, okay, well, who's Josh? Because I couldn't find any information on him. Like, who does he connect
yeah.
with that he doesn't even have to do an interview?
Yeah.
You know? So then there's another theory
mm-hmm.
because there was actually a string of these kind of situations going on in Chicago at the time, all like young black women disappearing, maybe 4 to 5 of them. And so then, and that nobody knows what happened to. Mm-hmm. And so then that other theory is that there's some serial kidnapper, murderer, whatever Ooh. out there on the loose,
yeah.
which this was in 2018, and there's been no, so that person's still out there, if that's the case, too.
Wow, yeah.
And those, because similar situations, like, poof, gone, out mm-hmm. of nowhere, with no leads.
Yeah. Wow.
So, I don't know. I mean, simplest answer seems to be Josh and the girlfriend.
Yeah.
But I have no idea.
Mm.
But like what we do know for sure is that Kiara's parents, Joseph and Karen, continue to search for her and her baby, who would be about 2 and a half now.
Oh God.
Yeah. That's but Joseph,
so, I keep forgetting that she was pregnant. Ugh.
I know. And it was like a thing where it was like not like mentioned a lot. I think 'cause it was maybe so early in the pregnancy that mm-hmm. like they used it in headlines and stuff, but it was you know, mostly yeah. talking about Kiara, but then like occasionally they would be like, and my grandchild would be 2 yeah. and a half
this is
now.
Giving me Evelyn Hernandez vibes
yeah.
too.
Yeah, totally,
you know.
I was thinking about
I was and oh my God, I was about to say Evelyn Hernandez and the Lacey Peterson vibes, but then I did exactly what I said in that episode that I didn't want to do is yeah. like, those are very similar cases, but no, Evelyn Hernandez, Lacey Peterson was killed by her husband, but yeah. you know, Evelyn Hernandez, the same thing. Like she was pregnant and went missing, like literally vanished. There was no, mm-hmm. you know, so that's like, maybe there is a serial. I don't know. It's just like, it's such a crazy, I mean, these are totally different areas. So not that that's unheard of either, but
yeah.
Wow. This is crazy. Yeah, or wild. Sorry. Wild.
Yeah. But Karen and Joseph believe that Kira and the baby are still alive. And I think that's what you have to believe. Oh yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I think that their hope is amazing, and I think the way that they've been able to rally their community is amazing, and the help of USPS, which are still investigating. Oh, I don't know.
So they didn't stop.
They didn't stop, but I don't know what they're really finding, if that much, but they didn't stop. And that's really like the silver lining to me here, is that like people care about Kiara and her baby, and they won't stop until they get answers. So if you listeners know anything about Kiara's disappearance, this is where I think sharing these stories of missing people can be really helpful. It's just spreading the word. So if you know anything about Kiara, or if you think somebody that you know might know, please contact the Chicago Police Department at 312-747-5789. Or you can submit a tip to the USPS Investigation Service at 1-877-876-2455. Because none of us should stop looking. This week's episode was written by me, Devin Balsamo-Gillis, with music by Holly Amber Chert.
For all of our pictures and sources, check us out on Instagram at ontheirbehalf_pod and on Twitter at ontheirbehalf_.
On Their Behalf, thank you for listening.